Hi, brothers and sisters, and welcome to our Get Out With God podcast. I'm Rick.
And I'm Christine, and we're the Ingrams, founders of the Viking and the Lioness Ministries.
Our mission is to encourage people to get out with God in order to begin to heal, become whole, and live well, spirit, soul, and body.
And we hope that this podcast blesses you with the word of the Lord and serves as bite-sized encouragement as you clear the clutter, quiet the noise, and draw closer in your relationship with the Lord.
We invite you to subscribe to the podcast, share it with others, and help us spread the word of the Lord.
Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome to day 24 of Journey with Jesus, a Lenten reflection. And before we get started, we invite you to look in the description and click on the link for the two downloads that we have there. The first one is a 40-day calendar for our whole Lenten journey, and there's links within that calendar to each of the scriptures that we discuss. Please take time to download that often, as the Holy Spirit sometimes leads us to make changes to future scripture.
Yeah.
Make sure you just download that again. The second link is the study guide. It's a companion download and is cumulative, so we add to it every day, and it does a deeper dive to the discussion that we have during the podcast. So it gives a lot more information than we're able to cover in our time together.
Some of these scriptures that we do, there's no way
we can unpack them all.
We can't even unpack them in the daily download because it'd be 30 pages long.
And then there's some that we're going to have to do another study on top of this, like a longer
definitely
study. Yeah, these are just...
I agree.
Hi.
There have been some that we've done that really need more discussion unpacking for sure.
So, honey.
Yes.
Would you like to read the scripture for us
today? I'd love to.
And get us started?
I would love to. Today's scripture comes out of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. We're going to read from the NIV translation today. And it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you."
I love this one.
Yes.
And I know when we were reading the scripture, some of the things we've already talked about, but the two things that stood out to us were the words living hope and inheritance. Mm-hmm. We haven't really talked about those or unpacked those topics. And I know that's what our study guide, we really went into depth into those two areas.
So definitely, I'd love to. Yes.
You want to focus on those?
Mm-hmm. Definitely, yes. One of the things that I like to do is I like to point out words are different in the scripture than the way we use them today. Because it's real easy to get into the mindset of our common usage of words. One of those is hope.
Remember when we first met, what I said to you?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that word. It's so negative. And you were like, what?
Yeah.
How could that? It's not negative.
Yeah, the word hope in common usage usually has an element of doubt to it.
Some of the examples that we went through and we shared in the download, it says, "I hope and pray that I'll be healed from cancer."
Mm-hmm.
Or, "I hope I pass my test."
Mm-hmm.
Or, "I hope that I get the job that I applied for." And it just sounds so desperate. Or,
well, like, and it's not being convinced of something.
Correct.
There is an element of doubt. If we're driving along and you look over at me and you say, "Honey, did you make sure and turn off the stove before we left?" And I say, "I hope so," I guarantee you we're going to be turning around and coming back because that hope in that context, and that's the way we use that so much today, there is a big element of doubt in there. That wasn't saying, "Oh yes, I absolutely did because right. I remember doing it." That was, I hope so. I'm not real sure.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that's different from the hope that's used in the New Testament. If I was to say, "I know I turned off the stove," that's pretty confident. the hope in the Bible, in the New Testament, when they say hope, it's even stronger knowing than saying, I know I did. It is being absolutely convinced of the truth of something.
I think a lot of times when we make those statements, we're putting our hope in earthly things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like doctors or teachers or instructors or just other people, instead of putting them into what this scripture refers to as the living hope.
Which is what?
Jesus Christ.
That's right. He is our living hope.
Because he died, but then was resurrected, and he is living.
Still alive today.
Yeah. I just love that.
The assurance. You know, another scripture that comes to mind with that hope is faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Where is your hope? What kind of hope are you having? Are you having the assurance kind of hope, the biblical kind of hope, or are you hoping with an element of doubt?
And I think sometimes people lack that knowledge of, you know, what that hope means, that mm-hmm. that salvation, the gift that he gave us when he took his last breath.
Mm-hmm.
At that very moment, we were saved.
That's right.
At that moment, you know, and we'll talk about it in a minute, at that moment, we received that inheritance
mm-hmm.
that's sitting there waiting for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes these earthly things that we put our hope in can be very heavy and very hard, and it just gets us down. And then, you know, we have that doubt. Instead of saying, yes, my hope is in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm putting, you know, all of my eggs in that one basket, you know, so to speak.
And yeah, that's the only sure basket we have to put them in.
Exactly.
Why not put them all there?
Exactly. I don't know if people don't make that connection, or they haven't been taught that, or
probably
really
a lot
sure.
of combination of just religious teaching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so much of that, and there has been in this Western culture, the Western church as a whole has taught so many religious things that it really leaves people confused, and they read things in the scriptures and they can't understand them because they have all of that teaching mm-hmm. blocking their ability to see. I call it, they read the scriptures with religious glasses on.
Mm-hmm.
And those glasses only allow them to see what they've been taught.
Right.
And I had those on for a long time. It's an amazing thing when you take those off and actually begin to see what the Word says mm-hmm. and the Holy Spirit really starts enlightening you and teaching you from the Word. Mm.
It's good.
It's good stuff. You want to talk about giving you a living hope.
Mm-hmm. I know another scripture from Hebrews that kind of goes along with this. Hebrews.
You know, every time you say that, I'm going to think coffee.
You're like, oh, there's coffee. And this is Hebrews 7:19. This is from the New King James Version. And it says, for the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is a bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. So they talk about a better hope or a living hope.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Oh, yeah.
So that, you know, at that time that Jesus said, it is finished, the old law was gone. That's it. Mm-hmm. Null and void, done. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
I just love that.
It is. It's wonderful. And for those of you who think Hebrews is a difficult book, I recommend that you read it from this perspective. The author, who I believe is Paul, scholars argue about that, so that's beside the point. But the author was writing it from the perspective of comparing the old with the new.
Mm.
He's comparing all of the old ways, the old Jewish Hebrew ways, with the new covenant and showing you how much more we have, how much better, what a better hope we have than the Jews ever had
mm-hmm.
from the old covenant. So read it that way and it will just come alive to you as you see. You may not be familiar with all the old Jewish ways, that's okay. But when you see the comparison of what they had versus what we have now, oh, it is a much better hope. And it's a biblical hope. It's an assurance. It's a knowing.
With no doubt.
With no doubt whatsoever.
There is another quote, and this is one of your dad's favorite.
Oh, we have to throw this in.
Theologian John Piper writes, "Living hope is hope that has power and produces changes in life. So, Christian hope is a strong confidence in God, which has the power to produce changes in how we live." That just sums it all up.
Mic drop.
So
it sounds like Piper reads a lot of Paul.
That's like how many?
No, Paul, let's not go there.
epistles.
How many pithy epistles does the Apostle Paul proffer?
And does John Piper read? Okay, enough of that.
Does John Piper peruse Paul's epistles?
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, we should probably erase all of this, but we probably won't. Anyway.
No, it's good.
It's good.
So can we move to the second point that we...
The inheritance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Read that part again, or I'll read that again.
Okay.
Because the scripture talks about that in his great mercy has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Mm. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you.
That's good.
Mm.
I love that we've already received it.
Mm-hmm.
It's sitting there waiting for us. So I know the picture that we shared today was, it's a beautiful picture. And I know it caught our eye when we tried to envision like what maybe some of those things are, what it might be like in heaven. The picture has, it's just a field laden with all kinds of wildflowers, big blue sky with puffy clouds in it, mountain. It looks like the Sound of Music. But if you take that and multiply that to a number that, like infinity, about what is there for our inheritance, I just envision that is what heaven might look like, and all of the things in it that are sitting there waiting for us, that God is protecting for us because we believe in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that we have it now, that's awesome. It's like Christmas Eve, you know, when you're a little kid, just that excitement of, you know, what is there waiting for us under the tree?
Yeah. And what just came to mind, of course, sorry to throw another Romans 8 in there, but this is really, no, I'm not sorry, actually. Romans 8, 16 and 17 says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ."
That's good.
Joint heirs.
Yep, so it's...
Not sub-heirs.
No.
We are co-heirs...
With our brother.
With our brother, Jesus Christ.
I love it.
What he gets, we get. What he was given, we were given. And there is nothing that is withheld from us.
Mm-hmm.
God has distributed to us all the exact same thing that he's distributed to Jesus. And what did he say when he was getting ready to depart, leaving the ministry to us? "All authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Therefore, you go."
I love that. That's good.
Talk about an inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
Not only do we have that here, but what do we have? We have the beautiful inheritance in heaven in eternity.
And what's cool is when we look back at the Old Testament, sometimes we're like, well, we're not under the law, so why should we read the Old Testament? There's so much there, so much, I'm going to say it wrong, prophesying and sharing of stories that shared what was coming.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, we can't look at the Old Law and go, we have to do all those things. We know that they were telling of Jesus Christ, but they were telling of what he was bringing, that salvation, the, you can name all the forgiven, delivered, healed, and prospered. You know, they told of those things that he would bring that. So I think when I hear people say, well, I don't want to read the Old Testament, I just want the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that bookend of, here's what's coming, So it's like when you write an essay. Tell them what you're going to tell them. Tell them what you told them. No.
And then tell them.
Yeah, and then tell them. And then tell them what you told them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I just felt like we need to bring that up because I hear a lot of people say, oh, I'm just going to read the New Testament. And the Old Testament is so King James-ish, if you will.
Well, yeah. And if you read the Old Testament from the perspective of the Old Testament, it's going to sound very harsh and very legalistic and very hard to understand. And of course, it's very Jewish in the way that they deal with things. But if you read the Old Testament from the lens or through the lens of the New Testament,
He was a loving God then.
Then you can see all of the loving things that He did. Yes, it was harsh. And yes, He had to do some crazy harsh things. But all of it was motivated by His love and His desire to save mankind from their sin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you stop and think about a surgery to remove a limb that has gangrene, you know, in the Old Testament, in the olden days, mm-hmm. Oftentimes they didn't have the antibiotics, and an infection would get gangrenous, and they would have to remove the limb. You know what? For the limb, it was judgment of death for that limb. But it was salvation for the rest of the body.
I always think it just it strengthens my faith when I read those. When I read Nehemiah, when I read Esther, read Ruth.
Oh.
There's so many.
So many. And if you go into Hebrews and into the section of the Hall of Faith, I believe it's Hebrews 12. There's a whole list of all of the huge faithful acts that men and women did in the Old Testament. And when you read through it, some of them you'll be familiar with, others you'll have to go and look up. But you have to remember that at that time, they didn't have the Holy Spirit within them.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have...
And they still believed in God the way...
They didn't have the living hope.
And their faith was in God.
Their faith was totally in God that they probably didn't know very well.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't know as well as we do.
No, because they were relying on someone else
mm-hmm.
to intercede between them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where's that curtain?
Certainly. Well, we encourage you to get the daily download and go through it and really process these things and establish in your heart the living hope. Would you like to pray us out, baby?
I would love to. Dear Lord, we just come to you today with so much appreciation and gratitude for all that you've done for us, for that better hope, that living hope that you gave us through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. When he took his last breath, said to Talitha, "It is finished." At that moment, all of the old laws were broken, and you made a way for us. You made a way for us to be saved. You made a way for us to be healed. You made just a way for us to put, you know, something to put our hope into. So we thank you for that. I just ask tonight that anyone that doesn't know this, they don't know this living hope, they don't know this better hope, I ask that you make a way for them to hear about this through one of us that's listening, or one of our brothers and sisters that are out there just sharing the word, just bringing the word, spreading that word further and wider, and being that light, being the salt of the earth, and just getting that word out to so that those folks can be saved. They can just understand how much they're loved and that there is an inheritance waiting for them, that they can just get into relationship with Jesus Christ and know that they're loved as much as we are loved. Know that they are equal in that inheritance, that they will have everything that we have, everything that Jesus has, our brother. Oh, it's just such an amazing feeling. It just takes the weight of the world, this earthly world, off of our shoulders. When things get heavy, when they get dark, we know that we have that hope. We can put that hope in Jesus Christ. And we can tell the enemy to just stop, that we have been saved, and all of those things that he tries to put in our ear, to try to put in our mind, to try to draw that wedge in between us and you, that we know it's all false. We know that Jesus made a way, and the enemy is trying to do everything he can to break that. So we just ask that you just keep us close, keep drawing us in and spending time with us and just loving us big. for all these things. We just thank you with all of our hearts, all of our minds, and all of our spirit. In your precious name, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.
God is so good.
Always.
Shall we leave them with some perfect peace?
Yes.
Shalom, shalom. We'll see you next time.
We love you.